You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all?
Yeah.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against
enslavement. This call is being recorded.
If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good weekend. Hope you're going to get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it ain't, just stay in the house. In fact, if you ain't got to really do it, stay in the house. You know, shelter in place. You know, I'm going to talk a little bit about this situation here in Georgia and some other things. Because I know I don't give a damn what anybody else says. I'm staying put. I'm staying in the house. You know, I'm not going to the barbershop, and Lord knows I definitely need one. Well, actually, I really got one already. I got a good brother who went by his house, and he even had gloves on, mask on, the whole bit. Because I just saw online where a brother was cutting somebody's hair during this time, and he died. The barber. Yeah. Wow. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. If you can't not listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Click on podcasts, and then there will be programming. And at the top is African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, on Mondays, of course, I just stated, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and then Monday, right after this program, starting this Monday, the return of the Black People Matrix, Brother Franklin Jones, on Monday and Wednesdays from 1 to 3, the return of the Black People Matrix, Brother Franklin Jones, Monday evening, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Wahad from 6 to 8, followed by Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays. And then Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters, when the clock strikes 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, 6 Mountain or 5 Pacific time, it's time for an awakening across this country and around this world. It's time for an awakening for Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then, of course, on Saturdays, the return of Black Reality Think Tank on Saturdays from 4 to 6 Eastern, 3 to 5 Central. This Saturday, the return of the Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. He has some young folks working with him, and they're going to have a really good show. You know, Dr. Rogers is in Central Time now. He's in Milwaukee, you know, for a bit. And so he's broadcasting there and some great programming. So I'm anxious to listen this Saturday. And then on Sunday, 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then every Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., it's the Warren Valentine Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We buy black. We buy black. Get everything you need from American African businesses. American African owned businesses. Get everything you need. The largest online marketplace for American African owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. And now, if you're in the Atlanta area at Wadada's, located on Abernathy, right near the Greenbrier Mall, right across the street from Soul Veg, right near, did I say the Greenbrier Mall? The West End Mall, which is going to be torn down, and some Europeans about to make something there. It's being gentrified. But WeBuyBlack.com is at Wadada's, and they got the soaps. They got all kinds of stuff right there at WeBuyBlack. Also, to remember that WeBuyBlack.com are trying to establish a supermarket. We don't have a supermarket. That's right, brothers and sisters, in the metro Atlanta area, not in the city of Atlanta or in the outlying areas, in five different damn counties. We don't have one damn supermarket. So they're asking you to go online to WeBuyBlack.com and make a contribution to make that happen. There are many growers who are anxious to let that happen, to make that happen, to help that happen. So they have a place that they can put their wares. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bamani Tahimba, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. He has one trip already rescheduled for the Senegal and Gambia. It's been rescheduled for July 24th through the 3rd. This trip to Ghana, which is next month, May 25th to the 5th, it may be. I'm not sure. We'll see. South African tour, November 20th through the 30th. And then a Ghana tour, December 24th to June. Damn, OG. December 24th to January 5th, 2021. And then another trip again. And then another trip again in to Senegal and Gambia next year, April 2nd through the 12th, 2021. So if you want to see photos, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. The brother has been doing it. He's been getting it in. He's been taking our people there. $400 down payment and start to pay on the trip that you want to go to. And before you know it, you're ready to go. Trip of a lifetime and everything that you need. All the documents, all the information is right there on the website at AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Renoko Rashidi. Renoko's got two trips, one to Uganda and Rwanda. Beautiful photos, as I keep saying, and I'd love for you to go online to check them out. October 5th to the 16th. Uganda and Rwanda, and then he has another trip a couple weeks later, October 22nd, a week later, October 22nd through November 4th, going to Kemet. He's going to Kemet. So check out Brother Renoko Rashidi, drrenoko.com, drrenoko.com. And then it's Habashah Incorporated.org, Habashah Incorporated.org. Go online. They're doing the work. They got the Kashi Village. It's being built. It's happening. And they need help. Habashah stands for helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. And their mission as a Pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in new families through practical experiences in cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, holistic health, and technology. Habashah. The Shrine of the Black Madonna, which, of course, is located here in the West End on Abernathy, right near Wadada's, right near Soul Veg, right near the West End Mall,
in that area. That's where the shrine is. And, of course, at this time, they're closed. I'm going to be going to the Greenbrier Mall to see if the Greenbrier Mall is open. May or may not be. And, of course, we have our good sister, Mama Nia, in the Greenbrier Mall with the Medu Bookstore. And, getting back to Wadada's, they also have the brother with Afroletics. If you want to go online to check out his stuff, it's AFR-LETICS.com, Afroletics. It's the, you know, wear with African themes, sportswear with African themes, the Dogon seed, the Dogon star seed, the Moors, the Olmecs, the Rebels, the Herus, yeah, Harriet Tubman, the Zulus. So check it out. Also, too, my good brother Gazimde Ajamu at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, located in Lithonia, 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. Us Lifting Us, they had their Thursday night broadcast last night at 9 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. The number to call is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. And, of course, that is Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people, in the spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics. I would like to say family-centered economics. The Akaban Institute, Baba Baruti and Sister Yah, been educating our young warriors, and boy, do we need them. So make check or money order out to Akaban Institute. Send it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. Akaban Institute. Or use PayPal or Cash App. Use the dollar sign, Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, and then their last name, Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. And make a consistent donation to help them. Also, too, they're having the brother and sister circle. It's going to be streamed. It's going to be live streamed, and it's going to be get that out of here. It's going to be in Saturday, May 2nd, which is next weekend. Next weekend, that's right. Next weekend. And for the brothers, it's Common Sense Security for the brothers, but lecture given by Baba Baruti Saturday, May 2nd from 12 to 2 at Akaban. Now, it's going to be live streamed. There would be no people there, but there is going to be a donation of $10 for men and $5 for boys. And then there's the sister circle. You know, there's a sister circle right after the brothers at 3 p.m. to 5, you know, held at Akaban. And the topic is sisterhood. I am my sister's keeper. You know, $10. And also $5 for the young sisters. Okay. And payable here. How it's going to go. Here's how it's going to go. For the brothers, make your $10 donation along with $5 for every child via PayPal account. Yah Baruti, YAABRUTI at Yahoo. Yah Baruti at Yahoo. Make sure you include your brother circle, your name, your email address so they can send you the link, and your phone number. For sisters, the $10 donation as well as $5 for younger people. PayPal, Yah Baruti at Gmail. Yahoo for the young men and the men. Gmail for the sisters. Included information, sister circle, your name, email address so they can send you the link, and your phone number. And that is next week, Saturday, May 2nd. I'll have Sister Baruti in, and we'll make sure that we we'll make sure that we have them on so you can be encouraged to be a participant. You know what I'm saying? For sure, for sure, for sure. Oh, what's next? Oh, Sister Gabrielle, Sister Gabby, Sanjay-Aiti, brothers and sisters, please go to the website, sanjay-aiti.org, and look at the work that they are doing in the northeastern portion of the island nation of Haiti. Go to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E-Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org, sanjay-aiti.org, and begin to make your contributions to a truly worthwhile cause. Sanjay-Haiti. Inye Sesim, the Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. April 23rd. Men who are earnest are not afraid of consequences. The Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. No man better Garvey has a model of steadfast earnestness. That's bottom line. When the forces of righteousness anchored in a deep and abiding love of African people is found in one of our warrior scholars, we are blessed to witness an unconquerable spirit at work. This is what drove this relentless man to do whatever was needed to free our people. He expected to win. There was never a question for Garvey. And it still is not. At the same time, he was also keenly aware that not everyone around him had his will or love for African people. And for this, he knew there would be serious consequences. He was not delusional. He was fully aware that there were those who did not understand nation building. He was cognizant of an inevitable whining tirades of Negro lackeys and their conspiring masters who understandably saw him as a threat to their ill-gotten privilege. Yet, he did not falter. He did not stutter. He did not quit. He did what Africans who know that they are their ancestors would do. He stood, shielded by a vision of uncompromising liberation, unafraid of any beast. I repeat, he stood, shielded by the vision of uncompromising liberation, unafraid of any beast. Affirm, consequences do not deter me from committing acts of righteousness. Affirm, consequences do not deter me from committing acts of righteousness. April 24th. Just as a person with amnesia is doomed to walk around confused about who he or she is, where they have come from, where they're headed, and the nature of their relationships with others, so too is the African who does not know, memorialize, and understand the great suffering. Kofi Ade. Today, when people in the community are asked if they are political, almost never is the question about whether or not they politically act in the interests of African people. It is simply an inquiry as to whether they like to talk politics. No participation in action organized solely in the interests of African people is assumed. Even so, it is also used as a tool to obliquely sanction the conscious warrior scholars that Negroes and lost souls consider paranoid about whiteness. Nevertheless, asking if one is political really is a political question for Africans of consciousness. For being political means acting in grassroots concert with other critical, knowledgeable, revolutionary African minds toward the independent, physical, mental, and spiritual empowerment and liberation of African people. Being political means actively working in African interests and working for the people's means, knowing who we are in contrast to those who we are not. It means knowing our story as well as that of those whose relationships with us have brought us nothing but great suffering. Affirm, I use the power of knowing the Ma'afa to act against its effect. Affirm, I use the power of knowing the Ma'afa to act in this in its effect. April 25th. Racism systematically verifies itself anytime the slave can only be free by imitating his master. Jameel Abdullah El-Amin, Brother H-Rap Brown. That slaves are less than their masters is evident every time they act as they have been defined by the reality that they have accepted and internalized as normal, deserved, or correct existence. When doing so, they become active, willful participants in their own negation and dehumanization. To be free, enslaved individuals must recognize their oppression, and refuse to participate. And herein lies the difference between a slave and one who is enslaved. Slaves actually see themselves as property of those who control them. Slaves believe they should be oppressed and exploited and willfully participate in it. Enslaved individuals know that they are being held captive against their will and work with every means at their disposal to free themselves. They are constantly at war against those who detain and oppress them. Most Africans are not slaves. They are enslaved. As the physical chains of bondage were taken off, Europeans switched gears and focused more on their energy on turning Africans into independent slaves. So today, the balance in the number of African slaves versus those of us enslaved has shifted. Most of us progressively regressed into the severest states of mental slavery, menticide. These individuals have used every ounce of their genius to turn the world into a plantation on which they can freely be a slave. Affirm, I am no one's slave. Affirm, I am no one's slave. The Inyesesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. You know, if you listen to the beginning of the program and when I do my libations, every time I do a libation, I make sure I make mention that we were not slaves. A slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master. We never submitted. We always fought. We fought on the continent. We fought in the Middle Passage. And we fought in this hemisphere. We fought. We resisted. We continue to fight today. Hundreds of recorded revolts of us fighting and resisting, let alone the ones that we don't know. So no, we are not slaves. We are captives. And what does a captive want to get? What does a captive want to do? The captive wants to get free. We were captives. We are captives still. And we need to free ourselves, to free our minds. That's the most important thing. That is the most of utmost importance is the freeing of the African mind. Because once that happens, everything else falls into place. Once you have been able to reject the European for what he has done and what he continues to do, and think in an African-centered or an African way, in the ways of our ancestors, you, brother and sister, are on the right path. So therefore, I want to pray. Saw this online. Somebody sent it to me. It's a prayer for Mama Africa. A prayer for Mama Africa. Mama Africa, some of your children have betrayed you badly. I would have said you should forgive them, for they know not what they do. But they know exactly what they do. So they must pay for their sins. Every African who has connived with foreigners to take your resources, Mama Africa, may they perish in an excruciating way. Every African who has stolen wealth from your belly and made millions of their brothers and sisters starve, may they perish in an excruciating way. All those conniving and conspiring day and night to keep you from realizing your greatness, Mama Africa, may they perish. All those actions and inactions humiliate and embarrass you or lead to embarrassment and humiliation of you, Mama Africa, may they perish. Those of your children who seek to bring your greatness upon the earth for the good of humanity, may they prosper. May they receive the clarity of mind and the quickness of conscience to drive the agenda to fruition. Those who generally want to help your children, be they family or neighbor, clan or stranger, Mama Africa, may their paths be straightened. All those who choose to bear the burden of struggle, not to fill their stomachs or quench their thirst, nor to amass luxury or power, nor to possess the infamous possessions of the world, but to hasten your coming glory, O Mother Africa, may their shoulders be strengthened. O Mama Africa, like every mother, you have good children and bad children. May your good children have their hands, heads, and hearts strengthened with knowledge, power, and passion to hasten the coming beauty of your glory and your greatness. Brothers and sisters, and may we behold this day in our lifetime. On this day, this prayer from Brother Oshi, a son of Africa. Ashe, Ashe, Asheho. And I'm sincere. I love that. I'm gonna say that prayer from time to time because I believe that it's necessary. Yeah, I'm gonna say that prayer from time to time because believe me, it's necessary. You know, well, what's been funny lately, and it ain't funny, is Trump. And you know, his quest to try to find ways so he can get back on the economic track that he was on. Now, understand this as far as I'm concerned. To me, this economy, capitalism is evil. Okay, so you can talk about employment, and believe me, there was no gainful good employment for us. Black unemployment has been better than it's been since y'all was enslaved when it was 100% employment. No, there was none. Many brothers and sisters had to take two or three jobs just to make ends meet. These weren't livable wage sustaining jobs. So no, I never thought that the employment of us was good. No way. So to me, this economy and capitalistic economy is global, and of course is ever rising. When does it ever stop? No, it doesn't. You gotta always have more. That's how you get to be a billionaire, which is ridiculous. And I'm hoping that brothers and sisters who attain that kind of monetary wealth will look back and begin to put money into the liberation of the African continent for African people. My thing is, you can stay here if you want to, but if you got resources and you got wherewithal, help. If you don't want it, that's fine too. Just don't hurt. Just don't say a damn thing. Just don't do nothing. Oh, I know. You may be threatened because they want you to disrupt and destroy any legitimate movement for African people to be independent, self-determination, to be independent and self-determining, liberated and sovereign. Because once that happens, it's over for them and they know it. It's over for this planet and they know it. For the Chinese and what they're doing. The Indians for what they're doing. All the others for what they are doing and what they have done. It's over. African people have taken their lives in their own destiny. I know for some of us it's very hard to believe, to think about, to even fathom that that's a possibility. But damn it, everything happens out of the idea and an image and a notion and a commitment to making that image and vision and notion a reality. And that's what we must do. I know, like I said, you know, today's the day that the governor of this state, who's a shyster, who's a chump, this cat, I'm not a violent person, although I used to box when I was young, and you know, I wasn't really a bully or nothing like that. In fact, boxing came out of protecting myself, you know, me and my brother, you know, in the neighborhood, which we, of course, lived in, which, of course, like everybody coming up in the 50s and 60s, lived in our hood. And then, of course, many people began to move out of the hood who could afford to because of open housing and that kind of thing, and just began to diss the hood and left the hood without a lot of good examples. Because prior to that, in the 40s and 50s and to the 60s, the professional people lived in the hood because they couldn't live in no suburbs or even Caucasian neighborhoods, you know. But then went open housing and you couldn't discriminate, and people started moving here and there. Good movie, Raising in the Sun, with Ruby Dee and Sidney Poitier and so forth. So, you know, so Trump, you know, he was pushing hydroxychloroquine, if you remember, a few weeks ago, constantly pushing hydroxychloroquine. And of course, that didn't work out, you know. So there still is nothing there. In fact, they use it on VA patients. They use it on the VA doing studies, and it proved not to work. Now, I think what was interesting, there were some people who had used hydroxychloroquine with another drug, and it worked for them. Understand this about drugs. It may work for you and not for me. But there hopefully is something that will work for pretty much all of us. And even at that, it still may not work for you, but it may work for me. But hydroxychloroquine proved to be a drug that it didn't work. And so so the guy who worked for there, he got demoted because he was saying we shouldn't, you know, talk about drugs and hope that they will work, and giving false hope out there. We should talk about drugs and having them, having the trials happen, having science deal with it. And if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, but you promoting it as if it works and it doesn't could be disastrous. As it was for a couple in California, I believe it was, who took the drug, chloroquine. And I'm not sure if she died. I know he died, you know, because Trump said it. And now Trump is saying, I'm going to get back to the mayor, the governor of this damn state in a minute. But now Trump is saying, we should, you know, use the ultraviolet rays of the sun, getting warmer, get under a light and inject somebody with disinfectant. And so, I mean, I know that happened yesterday, and I just saw it today. I just saw it this morning. And I'm like, damn, it was on the national news. Of course it was on the national news. And people were looking like, damn, did he really say that? Did he really promote that? He was asking others questions when they had the conference, and Fauci wasn't there. The Caucasian lady doctor was there, and she was like, what he's saying, you know, shoot me up with disinfectant, clean me out. He said all of this. I'm serious. And then if you haven't seen it, you know, of course you can go online and, you know, maybe go to YouTube and for the conference from yesterday evening. You know, this man is a damn fool. He is a fool. All the things that he said and done, you know, all the things he has said and done, not a damn thing should people really take for, you know, take to heart at what he is saying. I hope that's a damn lesson finally, but I doubt it because he has people out there, and you see people out there just like what happened here in Georgia and in many states where they are marching. They're marching and they're congregated. It's not like they marching in space like Trump said. Yeah, they're distant. Man, shut up. And they're marching and they got guns and they got rebel flags. They got armament on. They got all kind of helmets. You know, they're like, they're ready for war. Open our state up. We're ready for war. And not one damn person was arrested. They allow them to do this, to show this kind of intimidation, to intimidate the state. In fact, they were at the governor's house in Michigan, Governor Gretchen in Michigan. But they did it in Wisconsin and other states. And, of course, here in Georgia. And this fool opened up the state today for business. Today. I'd like to play something. I thought this was pretty on point. And, you know, thought that it deserves attention. Because where the brother is saying it, it's on point. So I believe we should act in this manner as it relates to this virus, you know.
Hey, America, can we talk? Just last week, the headline of every major publication was the rate in which COVID-19 was devastating Black communities. How then, just a week later, is the headline about plans to reopen the country? I'll tell you how. In the words of Michael Jackson, they don't really care about us. I knew that as those of us who prioritize health equity demanded demographic data to quantify what we already suspected, one of the consequences would be the confirmation that COVID-19 was in fact disproportionately impacting poor people and people of color, which would then give certain folks the green light to reopen the country, effectively declaring open season on people who predominantly look like me. And quite frankly, people who look like you too. I've said it before and I'll say it again. None of us exist in isolation of one another. It's just not what we were created to do or be. If one member of the body suffers, we all suffer. And that's exactly why isolation itself has been the best solution for the current circumstance we find ourselves in. When your natural disposition is community, but community spread of a virus has threatened your very way of life, you disassemble, you dissociate, you distance to preserve that which is sacred. Not the country's economy, but the economy of life, community. That economy, the one built on relationship and human capital, will forever be in jeopardy if we rush to reopen. Let me tell you a story. The 1918 Spanish flu, which, by the way, didn't originate in Spain. In fact, the first reported case was on a military base in the United States. The Spaniards were just first to write about it. But I digress. The Spanish flu, third deadliest pandemic in the history of the world. Over the course of 2 years, it infected 40% of the world's population, killing somewhere between 20 and 50 million people. And it didn't happen all at once. It happened in three waves, the second and the third being the deadliest. Pay attention. It's that last part that's prescient for our present predicament. You see, that initial wave of flu in the spring of 1918 was rather pedestrian, and people treated it as such. But as the First World War began to draw to a close and millions of soldiers were being moved around the globe, so was the virus moving. By the end of the summer, when it returned back to the States, the Spanish flu was destroying everyone it came in contact with. And there were three U.S. cities in particular that had three very different strategies to combat this deadly strain of influenza. The first was Philadelphia, and Philadelphia's outbreak began in September, a week before a scheduled parade that was expected to attract several hundred thousand Philadelphians. Against physicians' recommendations to cancel the parade, the city's public health director insisted that the parade go on because it would raise millions of dollars in war bonds. Cash money over people. 72 hours after the parade, all 31 of Philadelphia's hospitals were at capacity, and 2,600 people were dead by the end of the week. Then there was San Francisco. And San Francisco had seen how things played out in Philadelphia and got ahead of the situation by quarantining all naval installations, closing all schools, and banning all social gatherings before the flu arrived in October. The city of San Francisco even went a step further by mandating that any citizen caught in public without wearing a gauze mask would be arrested, charged, and fined with disturbing the peace. As a result, the second wave was mild, and things were back to normal by November. Until they weren't. See, the city officials had largely attributed their success to the masks and not the social distancing, when in fact the masks weren't very effective at all. So when the third wave of Spanish flu hit the Bay in January of 1919, the city only required people to wear masks while they carried on with business as usual. Consequently, San Francisco ended up being one of the hardest hit cities in the country by the third wave. A later analysis found that if they had kept all of their anti-flu protections in place through the spring of 1919, it could have reduced deaths by 90%. Finally, there was St. Louis. And even before they had their first case, the public health commissioner had healthcare personnel on high alert. All schools and movie theaters and pool halls were closed immediately, and all public gatherings were banned. Of course, businesses pushed back, but both the health commissioner and the mayor stood their ground. And when infections began to emerge in civilian populations as expected, thousands of sick residents were treated at home by a network of volunteer nurses, as opposed to aggregating a bunch of already sick people under one roof in a system that couldn't withstand the crush of cases. Subsequently, the peak mortality rate in St. Louis was only one-eighth of Philadelphia's death rate at its worst. Here's what I'm saying, folks. We've seen this movie before, and we know exactly how it ends. And because we know better, we expect it to do better. The century-old history of Philadelphia and San Francisco doesn't have to repeat itself. Instead, we can try and change history like St. Louis did, a city today that's reporting all but three of its COVID-19 deaths being among African Americans. It's full circle back to race and ethnicity. The irony in all of this storytelling is that racism is still as much a vehicle for transmission of disease today as it was a century ago. One of the reasons the U.S. cities failed to flatten the Spanish flu curve was because most of the trained nurses had been deployed to battle barracks to triage for wounded soldiers from a world war that claimed 17 million people of its own. So local hospitals back here in the States were heavily undermanned, or underwoman, rather. Except there were plenty of trained and highly qualified black nurses that the Red Cross refused to let work until it was too late. Because racism. Now here we are in the year of our Lord 2020, and racism is again on the front lines of a pandemic, and that we are the first to be sacrificed for the sake of capitalism. Listen, I miss money too. I'm the owner of a small business that thrives in the public space of delivering information and inspiration to large groups of people. I've applied for all the available federal small business assistance I can and haven't seen a cent. So I'm as anxious as the next American to get back to work. But I also understand that hurrying back to a convention center full of people is futile if there are no people. While that sounds apocalyptic, that's the mindset that we have to have if we want to make it out of this coronapocalypse with our families intact. Now, if you're looking to hold your elected officials accountable, the World Health Organization recommends that any government that wants to start lifting restrictions must first meet six conditions. Number one, disease transmission must be under control. Number two, health systems are able to detect, test, isolate and treat every case and trace every contact. Number three, hotspot risks are minimized in vulnerable places like nursing homes. Number four, schools, workplaces, and other essential places have established preventative measures. Number 5, the risk of importing new cases can be managed. And number 6, communities are fully educated, engaged, and empowered to live under a new normal. If you've been paying attention, you know that we as a country haven't accomplished any of those. Yet some politicians want to shut down the shutdown in less than 15 days. And some states, like Florida, have already reopened their beaches. So here's my proposition. Regardless of the plans of our elected officials to reopen the country by May 1st, I implore each of you to exercise better personal judgment. Sit this Cinco de Mayo out so that the only corona you're getting is a beer from your refrigerator. Send mom a virtual hug on Mother's Day and reserve the right to hold her tight in a few months. And barbecue in your own backyard for your own household on Memorial Day. As far as the summer goes, we can cross that bridge when we get to it. And while this seems like a huge sacrifice now, it's only a minor setback that I'm confident will set us up for a major comeback in the not-so-distant future. This is the time for us to love each other enough to stay apart so that we can stay together. Remember, we all used to be somebody else. What's most important is that we're always working to be better today than we were yesterday. You be the cure you wish to see in the world. Peace and blessings.
I hope you enjoyed that. I know I did when I first heard it a few days ago, and I was like, man, that's a good piece, and especially since the governor of this state has opened this state up starting today and fully probably open by Monday or by next Friday, which is the first. And there's a lot of places that are not going to open. They refuse, particularly salons and barbershops, you know. And they're saying, no, it's not, because the state of Georgia does not even fit anything that the brother said as a criteria, but does not even fit Trump's, the administration's criteria for opening. There are still people who are getting infected, still people who are infecting others. There are still people who are getting sick to the point of death, and there are still people who are dying. So, no. But once again, this is capitalism. Just as you've heard in the last few weeks, you've heard some people say, well, they should be willing to make a sacrifice, especially old folks like me. Willing to? No, hell no. We have made enough sacrifices for this damn country. We ain't making none. That's for damn sure. So we're going to be smart. We're going to stay at home. When we go out, we're going to be protected, wherever that, how that protection is. My daughter showed me this one protection. Looks like a, you know, a good space suit. It's, I mean, serious cover from your chest all the way in your back and all your head on your shoulders, you know. Serious covering, you know. So we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, I'm going to get these callers that are holding. You stay holding, please, and so we can get your African perspective. And we're going to be right back. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. That was Marvin Gaye. Got to give it up. I'm telling you, that was made in the late 70s. It is the Black Jam Anthem. You put that on along with some James Brown in any decade, your ass is going to be on the dance floor. You hear me? That's for sure. Got to give it up, Marvin Gaye. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. This program, once again, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Immediately following this program on Mondays and Wednesdays, the return of the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones from 1 to 3. In the evening on Monday from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Wahad, followed by Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then on Saturday, Black Reality Think Tank, once again with Dr. William Rogers, and he got the young students working with him. It starts this Saturday, tomorrow. Black Reality Think Tank tomorrow, and it's going to be at 4, from 4 to 6, Eastern, 3 to 5, Central. And Sunday, on Sunday at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then every Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Brothers and sisters, let's get into some conversation. 404-573. Good afternoon.
Yes, Brother OG.
Hey, Queen, how are you today?
I'm well, thank you very much. I'm
good.
Well.
Good.
Peace, family. Well, I'm just tuning in, so.
Okay.
Okay,
well, if you got something to say, you know what to do, okay?
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. 404-453.
Hey, Shalom family. Hey, Brother Ocean.
Hey.
Look at here, man.
What's up, Wes?
I'm going to say this one time, man.
Okay, one time.
I'm out here for the family.
Okay, one time. Hold on. You're going to say it one time. So let me alert the audience, the brothers and sisters out there. Brother Wes, Research Wes, going to say it one time. All right, here we go.
Yes, sir. Okay, everybody on this call, including Scotty, we appreciate him for this platform.
Yes, we do.
All the people melanated.
Yes, we do.
That want to rise above this. We are a member of PAIN, okay? PAIN is Pan-African Intelligence Network. Just remember that.
Okay. I'm writing that down.
That's what I answer. Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
And all the thing that required is that you melanated and... you hooking in to this intergalactic thing that we have through thought, okay? Through thought, word, action. Well, really through thought now, because you always talk about the mind, right? So when the Creator, Yeshua, said rebuild the temple, that's between your left ear and your right ear, not no damn building. So right now the temple is getting rebuilt, okay? Where we connect our minds together. I give you a perfect example. Remember when that hurricane was out in the ocean last summer?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. And I did it on the Carl Nelson show and another show where I had everybody just think of that hurricane turning. Okay. And mm-hmm. we turned because it was going to hit Florida, remember?
Right.
And so all the people that know how to do this, we use it's called collective consciousness. Okay.
Okay, right.
We ain't got to say nothing. Just think it. But if you say it, you have me a pastor. We turned that hurricane, only thing, we didn't take it far enough to go open water. Okay, but we turned it from America, but we didn't go far enough, but it hit the Bahamas. So mm-hmm. that was a test. We had to go further to make it go to the open waters, okay? So the point I'm trying to make, once all of us tap in with this energy of our mind, not no talking, you could just think it now, because they corrupt the sound. But to make it go faster, if you say it, if you think it and say it, and think it again, it'll happen. So that's the way that's taught. That we know about physical now. This is metaphysical, mental physical. That's the power that the ancestors had. Because we only use it, 30% minimal, our mental and esoteric principles, what we got. So this is his, all hooked up. And once we got this collective consciousness, man, and we can do anything, man. We can stop these. The oppressor already stopped now, man. Their time is up, bro. Their time is up on this whole planet. And once we start tapping in to our mental capabilities, man, okay, we ain't got to even throw a hand or throw a weapon. The mainest weapon we got is our mind, okay? Y'all know that. It's our mind, man. And we ain't got to throw no fist, get no gun, no nothing. That's what the nation was talking about, the Nation of Islam, man. They don't even have no penknife, okay? Once you encase your mental capabilities, everybody's searching for God. You want to see God, like I say, look in the mirror, bro. But the Most High is high vibration of light and sound, man. That's all it is, man. That's what the universe is about. And once we tap into that, bro, we really got it. But we just got to do some tweaking. And one more thing, see what I learned? Whatever the oppressors say, you do the damn opposite, man.
I do.
Okay.
I know that's right.
You already know. We just got to tweak what we got. Because this time he'll call for us to use, the Creator got it for us, man. He's waiting on us, man.
All right,
my brother.
He's
waiting on us to go. Because I done heard a lot of brothers, some people that know what's going on, man, and know how to get above and rise above all this crap,
yeah,
man.
I hear you.
We could rise above this 5G, won't even touch you, man. Okay? You got to listen to that sound of 528 hertz, man. Okay? Once I listen to that, bro, my whole DNA structure changed, man. Okay, it's simple, man. It's a beautiful time to be alive for us black people, man.
Well, let's hope so. I know, Brother Wes, and I understand what you're saying. You know, there's a physical reality and there's a metaphysical reality. And in the physical reality, it doesn't look good. And that's what we need to do is tap into that metaphysical. We must use our minds collectively. There's no doubt in my mind when I look at ancient Kemet, with what we did there, working with tons, and I mean literally tons, tens of tons of stone to be able to move that, not just with human power, but with mental power as well, you know, and also to all the things that we could do collectively, mentally, to rid ourselves of this disease that we've been afflicted with the Urugu virus must come into play. All right, Brother West, just hang on. All right, dear brother, we're going to get another call. 334-334, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Baba Oshie. How are you?
I'm doing well today, brother. How you doing, man?
Hanging in there. I forgot to unmute myself last program, but I'm ready and willing to share. You know,
good.
Thank you for that piece that you had played earlier, because it blew a question in my mind. That question being, what does social distancing mean to one who's already been marginalized?
Good question.
And so,
yeah. You've always been kept at a social distance. Good point, brother. I don't tell you.
Yeah. So what does it mean, social distancing mean to one who's already been marginalized? And so we're in this era of coronavirus. And so hopefully there are lots of lessons. Hopefully Kuji Chaku Lia would be definitely displayed amongst us now.
Yes.
I know that your governor has instituted opening up salons, etc. And I'm hoping that for us as melanated people, that we not patronize to a certain degree, right? To a certain degree, those kinds and types of businesses that aren't like us or don't appear to be like us.
Yeah.
And so I'm just hoping that we think smarter, that we exercise those principles of Nguzu Saba and actually learn to be able to build from and on top of each other. So I just thought I'd tune in to say hello. And I have been tuning in, and thank you so very much for your patience. And thank you for taking my call.
Always, brother. I appreciate it. I appreciate you listening. Appreciate you calling all the time, Brother Ted. You hang in there with me,
peace.
Okay? You
have peace, brother.
Peace. 646 646, good afternoon.
Hey, OCO, did you take your Lysol shot yet?
Yeah, I shot up this morning, man.
They don't to take the shot or some, X-rays or some other. You know, that's one of the dumbest MFs in the world. And I mean,
I'm laughing, Jay.
I don't know what it is.
I'm laughing, Jay, but this shit ain't really funny, man. This sugar ice, honey iced tea ain't funny because he's real with it. And yeah. and the idiots who believe in him and follow him, look what they have done already when they took chloroquine. And then, of course, demoted the dude that said, hey, we're trying to deal with the stuff that deals with science and that can be backed up by fact. We don't want enough stuff that's just thrown out there. And because when stuff is thrown out there, and the public, this is the president of the United States, although I never called him that, who says it, and there are people that are willing to follow that, and as a consequence, the lives could be lost, you know. And now with him talking about shooting up with disinfectant and going under radiation and getting, you know, ultraviolet light stuff so he can warm up. Man, this cat is whack.
I want to know what's the over and under on how many dumb Negroes tried it this morning. I mean, it's absolutely insanity. And the thing that got me was later on that evening, they showed pictures of the Urugu chick who's supposed to be making these type of, you know, suggestions in regards to how to handle the virus. She looking like, I can't believe this mofo is saying this and having the nerve to ask me a question. I mean, it's madness, man. How in the God's green earth could somebody around the world see this son of a bee make these kind of assertions and think that Americans are intelligent? So, I mean, this is absolutely crazy, bro.
It is. It really is. Living in an attempt of insanity. You know, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, listen, I know that there's going to be some people out there that's going to do this. And that's tragic. Because that'll take you out quicker than the virus. If you take too much of that stuff, if you swallow that stuff, do you have any clue what it will do to you?
You know, I what I kept thinking about, Jay, was those Tide Pods.
Yeah.
The people, you know, might as well munch on some of these if you're going to take a shot of Lysol disinfectant, you know.
Oh, that's crazy, bro.
It is crazy. This is insanity.
But we live in a society to whereas idiots like him can flourish for a period of time, and then it causes great harm and damage, and people want to make a change and try to salvage the damage that the character did. And it just can't happen, man.
Let me tell you.
It can't happen.
I mean, this is
crazy.
Jay, there are still people who believe, and he believes, that he can win this election that's upcoming. But with
he's
all
gonna
the,
win.
Yeah. But with all, and you
he's
know what?
Win.
You know what, though, Jay? There is a possibility. It's remote, I think, I hope, but there is a possibility. Because if you chronicle all the things that he has said and done, just as president, I ain't talking about the foolishness prior to, because there's a whole lot of that. But just as president, the thousands of lies, the incidents that happened, the embarrassments, the so forth and so on, and these pronouncements, hydroxychloroquine, bleach and so forth, you know, even though Biden is whack himself and probably that's why to me his vice president, whoever that person is, whoever that lady is, will be in a good position. It won't be Kamala Harris and it won't be Stacey Abrams. Okay. That's for damn sure. Okay. Because in this society, let me just say this, Jay, before I let you jump in this society, just like when we got the vote in the 13th Amendment, you know, the same thing happened when all those women said, y'all gave the black man the vote before you gave us the vote. That's what that suffrage movement was all about. And so the same thing happens now. So, you know, we have a lot of work to do, Jay. We have a lot of work to do. That's for sure.
Well, you know, the deal is this. And as far as I'm concerned, they gave a half-bred Negro the first shot. They're not going to give a black woman a chance to jump ahead and be one step from the devil's house over a white woman. That's just not going to happen. Now, you sick Negroes may think it will, but I'm telling you, it's not going to happen. If he pick a black woman, I'll be absolutely shocked. And that'd just make more white women come out for Fredo. Because listen here, the reality is these people are dangerous. And they more dangerous now than they ever was. Just look at Justin. Mm-hmm. Just look at the situation I just saw on CNN where this black barber, he got gloves on, he got a mask on,
sure.
And he cutting somebody hair, and he talking about, well, I had to open up because I don't have no money,
yeah.
And I need money.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, these devils would put you in a compromised position,
yeah.
To do what? Take care of them. Not so much take care of you, because remember, they want to see their tax money. They going to make sure if you don't pay your taxes, they coming after you, and they going to take everything from you. So, I mean, you know, sometimes we just have to put our priorities in order and just sit back and relax, because I just hope in Atlanta where you at, brother, that you stay safe.
Believe me, I am.
That you watch yourself closely. Because this thing is real, man.
Yeah.
This thing is beyond realer than we think. And unfortunately, we got a system that's based on greed that's going to basically destroy the lives of our so-called citizens. Now, I want to understand and I want to know, why is it that other countries that supposedly don't have our wealth are able to take care of their citizens and pay them to keep their behinds home?
That's because a lot of those European countries have a foundation of wealth based on African exploitation. That's why.
Still today,
they have a wealth that was established.
You can't just say that, and I agree with you, but it's deeper than that. It's a degree of understanding how to take care of their citizenry, and also it's the fact that there's not that many immigrants and people of color in the country any damn way.
Exactly.
So they don't
and that's the point. That's right.
Care of a few people
exactly.
Of
that's why all throughout, that's why, Jay, all throughout Europe, they have affordable health care. They have a health care plan. Nobody pays for a damn thing in Europe for health care.
Well,
and there's other programs. But let me get some other callers, Jay. You just hold on, dear brother. Thank you. And 323. Good afternoon. 323.
I don't know. Is that me?
That's you. Good afternoon. How you doing?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Hi, I just happened to see you on YouTube. I'm calling from L.A., and I had been talking to a friend of mine about what was happening in Africa, about how the Chinese are taking
mm-hmm.
over.
Sure.
What I want to know is there anything that we can do here to influence some of that with the Africans?
Oh, no doubt, because we're in solidarity with Africans, because we are Africans. We're in solidarity with Africa because we are.
I'm talking about over there right now.
Okay.
I understand where we originated from. I understand that. But I'm talking about what's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that we can do as a collective or anybody I can get in touch with to help to do a mind change or an awareness change or something like that? I'm working on something, a curriculum of the mind. I'm working on this right now.
Right on.
All right. But right now I need to know, I would love to, I really need to do this. I need to see how we as a collective can help them see what's happening to make a change. There are enough black Africans, however you want to describe us here in LA, I mean, in the country, United States, with money that mm-hmm. can make investments over there,
yeah.
that can go over there and make an influence, be an influence over there. Is there any way that we could do something, an organization, tell me how I could do it,
okay.
you know, but something
okay.
needs to be done rather than just to sit here, sit down, talk about it, be aware of it, and know what's happening, see what's happening, and not try to warn them or help them to figure out another way of getting money that they need or resources or whatever, or being able to expand their resources or do something. Well, there should be something that we could do since we are so aware here of what's mm-hmm. going on.
Well, let me just say this, because there are some things that are happening. There have been calls for boycotts here of Chinese establishments here in the States. The Pan-African Federalist Movement have called for boycotts. Also, too, the Pan-African Federalist Movement is making a serious demand of African people on the continent throughout the diaspora. There's also the, what's the sister, Akana, Dr. Akana, and the diaspora, the African diaspora movement. And so there are organizations, and I can give you information on those organizations that you can contact that are happening. The African Federalist Movement.
Yeah, I really need that. I'm sorry. There's nobody here that knows that hardly.
Okay.
That word, what you're saying, is not around here anywhere.
Okay. Well, let me just say this.
Right.
I appreciate you calling, and whatever information that I could give to you to help in any way that I can, believe me, that's what this program is about. This program is about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. And that's what we talk about here. So if you want to find out what's going on in other areas of the country and in the African world and in the diaspora, you know, we're right here. But the bottom line is that for you, if you want to contact some individuals in the L.A. area, I know a few individuals. I can give you that information after the program. I see your number, and I could give you a buzz. You can call me. I'm Brother Oshie, and you can call me at 414-324-5796. 414-324-5796. And I got a couple of people in the L.A. area that you can network with that can begin to talk about doing something, you know, in that area and in that way. Because, yeah, I agree with you, dear sister. It is past time for us to come together. But there's no time like the present.
There are a lot of black folks that I know with money that should be able to do something. And I'm really going to start pushing and forcing some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I know several multimillionaire black people.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even know about a lot of this. Nobody's really paying attention to a lot of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I heard about it from a distance, but until God sent me to this station this morning, I really wasn't quite as strongly aware as I am now. And my heart is just having a fit. I have to try and figure out how to do something with somebody about this.
Okay. Well, we'll try my best to give you the information, and you can always use this radio program as a platform, you know, to get that information out and have others do the same. This is Time for an Awakening, and that's what time it is, Time for an Awakening Media. And there's programs on Sunday and tonight, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, where Time for an Awakening is out of. And so, but believe me, I thank you so much for calling, and please continue to call in and give your opinion. But I gave you my number. Give me a call so I can give you the information of a couple of people that I know in the LA area that are probably dealing with issues like this already, you know? Okay.
I sure will.
All right.
No
just stay
doubt.
Listening.
Thank
stay,
you.
No, you bet, my sister. You stay listening. Okay. Just stay right here. 404-573. Queen, you had something to say?
Yes. I just wanted to tell the sister the same thing you tell her. Sister, stay tuned. Tune in, and you will hear what you need to hear, just as you did this morning. I thank you for being present. Now, as far as taking that shot, any shot, whatever, I hope they all take it.
I hope they all line up and drink the Kool-Aid. I really do.
Yeah, well, I hear you.
Also, you know, as far as this China thing goes, they are in the homeland now. And just like they brought this thing here to this United Snakes of America, they got ultimate plans. They got ultimate plans. Let's not sleep on this. Because, you know, what they did yesterday, they doing today.
Well, let me just say this, Queen. They have been doing that. They have been mistreating our people in China as well as on the continent for some time. But I think now the issue is, I mean, if you just seen recently, there's been some brothers and some of our people in the continent. I think Kenya was one of them. There's another place where they burned down their store. You know, I remember just recently there was a Chinese restaurant that refused service to Africans in China, in Africa. I think it was Nigeria, refused them service and they closed them down. I think that's the issue of 300 million. Let me repeat, the issue of 300 million Chinese relocating on the continent of Africa is going to be squashed, I hope.
You think so?
I hope so.
It ain't going to happen unless we do, you know, but exactly. They're welcoming them in.
Right, I agree.
But open on. So that's my point. It's not going to happen just like they do to us here unless we make them aware and awake. You know, we just got a whole lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm.
So hang on, sister, hang on.
That's right. All right, thank you, Queen. 267. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Brother Oshie.
Hey,
good
Ralph.
Hey, man. You know, you know, that clip you played earlier.
Yeah.
I love what that brother was saying, because if you really listen to it, what he was doing, he was putting the responsibility on you or
right.
me. You know what I mean? It was no blaming nobody, regardless of what that devil down there said. It's your governor.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The responsibility lies on us. If I start seeing the brothers going out there getting tattoos and haircuts, the thing about it, we will want to blame the governor, but that responsibility lies on them. If we see the sisters going in there buying them blonde weaves and everything, we will want to blame the governor, but we better start looking at ourselves.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
So, you know, that's the responsibility that I'm talking about. Now you know, I just had so much to say. Like, which one of us are stupid enough to put Lysol in our blood, Brother Oshie?
Amen.
You know what I mean? Really.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you, Brother Ralph, but let me just say this. Soon as he said something about chloroquine, people went out and got it. Hydroxychloroquine and so forth. You know, once again, because he was saying, I hope the states kind of would start to begin to prepare to open up. And then you see all of these demonstrations across the country. That wasn't happenstance. That wasn't spontaneous. That was intended. That was organized.
I'm glad you brought that up. See, because we're being played, Brother Oshie. And they had one of those Patriot marches here in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And one guy, and it was like three or four people out there with Nazi suits on, waving the Nazi flag. Come to find out, these people were Bernie Sanders supporters.
So is that right?
So, yes. So, see, we're being played, bro. We are being played, man. And you know, that's why I said we got to really look at things carefully.
Yeah.
Because, man, I mean, these people, they went back and they found out that these four people were Bernie Sanders supporters, man. So, you know, and the thing about it, I'm gonna leave on this note, because it's still going to put the responsibility back on us. Like Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes featuring Teddy Pendergrass said, if you don't know me by now.
I say, you'll never know
you
me.
Don't, so, you know,
you
I got to
never
on that
ever,
note, brother. No.
You'll never
know me. All the wickedness this man had done to us, all the wickedness those Chinese have done to us, and we still welcome them with open arms. So the responsibility is on us, brother, and we got to get serious about this thing.
Right,
so I'm going to leave it alone. And oh, one more thing, social distancing. I don't believe in that because what we're doing right now is social. I believe we have to come together of like minds. Physical distancing, yes. And we should have been practicing that years ago with the real virus that walks on two legs.
Yeah.
So I'm going to leave you I'm gonna leave you with that, my man.
Okay.
All right, then, brother.
Right on. Right on, Brother Ralph. And
sir. Take care, my man.
Peace. Have a good weekend, Brother Ralph. Listen, what he's saying is really deep. Because, the social part, but the mindset of us coming together, of working out these issues. Like the physical part, being distant, we have to be that. I know there are some salons and barbers and other entities that are owned by us say they will not open. It was on the news. They say they will not open because still people are getting the virus. Still people are dying from the virus. It doesn't meet any criteria. The piece that I played that Brother Ralph just mentioned, that brother said, these are the criteria if you should start to begin to open up the society, to start being open for business. And it did not even meet what Donald Trump. In fact, Donald Trump said that he adamantly disagrees with this governor for opening up the society way too soon. And my hope and prayer, just like in Wisconsin, when they had the election 2 weeks ago, and they had people standing outside because they used to have 160 polling places. They had 160 down to five high schools. Granted, it was in the big gyms, the field houses and so forth. I understand that. But still, people waited in line for 3 hours or more. And later that evening, as it was winding down, it was raining. But even deeper, people, some didn't have a mask on. My friend, she had a mask on. She was showing me what was happening and so forth. She showed me the line. She showed me when she got to the school and in the school, you know. So I had the ability to check that out. But the point being is that that should have never happened. The Republicans did it. The governor said, no, we should suspend this. They said no. And so the Republicans did it. And unfortunately, they said about 20 people have caught the virus because of that situation. About 20 people have caught the virus because of that. We're going to take this call. 910-910, good afternoon. 910-910. Yes, go ahead, brother.
My brother.
How you doing
today?
Well, I'm doing well. How are you? Good.
I'm great. I'm in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and I was just looking at some statistics about our banking system. And in the African community, the largest bank in Boston and New York have assets of only about $600 million. And, you know, it doesn't take that much to set up banks, but, you know, we need to start putting our money in these banks and setting up banks. So these are some of the things that we can do on a regular basis and set up a communal consortium, so to speak, where we can buy and purchase things, you know, in our own community.
Right.
But the main thing is where we spend our money and where we bank with it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm definitely one of having a collective mindset and us doing for ourselves. I bank at a black bank here in Atlanta, and unfortunately at times they, you know, the level of service, but I will continue to bank at this bank. You know, because I banked at the one when I was in Milwaukee, you know, until they closed. In fact, they don't have a black bank anymore in Milwaukee. They have a credit union, you know.
Right.
But, you know, that's a problem. That's a problem around this country, the black banks. So what you're saying is timely because a lot of those banks have closed across this country. Seaway in Chicago, which bought out the other black bank in Milwaukee that I used to bank at. And until that bank, Seaway, was bought out by some Indians out of Texas. I ain't talking about indigenous people. I'm talking about Indians from India. And, of course,
right,
I know how they feel about us. So I shown in hell wasn't going to bank with them, you know.
Right.
See, so I agree with what you're saying, brother.
But we just need to motivate ourselves to, you know, spend the money with us and develop production. See, one of the main and the pitfalls of capitalism is the fact that without consumption, you know, it deteriorates. And right now is a prime example of that. You know, in two months, people filing bankruptcy and falling out of business and this kind of thing, you know, it really makes no sense. But if we were collectively, which we used to do, and some of us still do now, but these are some of the things that we need to be more proficient in and do for ourselves. And the program that you have, because I just tuned in other Tuesday night, and tuning in now, I'm going to stay tuned.
Right on, I appreciate it.
And keep up the good work.
Thank you, dear brother. You have a blessed and wonderful weekend. Peace to you. Thank you so much.
You too.
All right. 602-602, good afternoon.
Yes, Brother Oshie.
Hey, Brother Marcus. How are you this day, my brother?
I'm doing great, good
brother.
You know, Tennessee is one of the states that...
yeah, that's going to open up too. Yeah, Tennessee, Georgia, and Florida, and somebody, I don't know.
however, the black people here ain't going for the okey-doke.
All right, that's great.
Memphis, Nashville, Chattanooga, and Knoxville, you know, where most of our people are concentrated, they ain't opening up. And the people saying they ain't coming out and participating either because they realize the game that these people trying to play. Because if they notice what they're opening up, gyms, restaurants, hair salons, you know, places that we frequent.
Yeah.
But our people are smart. Tact. They're saying, hell no, they ain't going to support it. So, you know, our people are waking up. This coronavirus is the wake-up call. Anyway, good brother. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Marcus. As I stated a couple of weeks ago and in last week as well, that we can talk about the conspiracies, all the things, and the development of the coronavirus, 5G, in a lab out of Wuhan, all of these things. But one thing that we know for certain, it is killing our people. This virus is easy to contract and it's killing our people. When I saw what happened in Milwaukee with when the virus hit there, the first two people to die from the coronavirus in Milwaukee County, and we only make up 25% of Milwaukee County. We make up 45% of the city of Milwaukee. Were two brothers that I knew. One I went to school with, and we were on the fire department together. And the other one was a police officer who was a president of the local black organization, while I was the president of the local black firefighters organization. And we collaborated on a number of things. When both of those brothers got that virus, because they were of that age and had preconditions, they went down fast. The brother's son was on the local television station saying, my dad got it. He went to the hospital. 2-3 days later, he was dead. The brother who was a police officer, who had got a doctorate degree, who was doing some teaching in Milwaukee for a time and appointed to the parole board, left Milwaukee, went to Mississippi, him and his wife. His wife was also a police officer. He came back to check on some property, caught the virus, was in the hospital. They even induced a coma, of course, to put the ventilator, to put that tube down his throat. 2-3 days later, he was dead. And the fact that I have had pneumonia many times, because that's what this virus is pneumonia. And because that makes me susceptible to this, I can't play around. When I leave this house, I got a mask on, gloves, I'm ready. I don't go out for long stints. I do my business and come right back home. You know, there's been some businesses here that have said that, no, we're not going to open up. We're not. It ain't about the money. Yes, I'm quite sure, just like the brother in the piece said, he has a business. But yet, we want to be here. Not necessarily here. We want to be alive. So we can continue our movement for struggle. And for the sister, 323, my sister in L.A.?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I gave you my number, 414-324-5796. Here is a website you can go to, the African Diaspora Development Institute, which is OurOurAddi.org. OurOurAddi.org. It's a fantastic sister, Dr. Akinkena. And they did have a piece on their website, a letter to China, to Yi, you know, condemning them and asking them, you know, what's the deal, what y'all gonna do? So there's some other clips on there that you can look at. But basically, she's definitely talking about the issue of colonialism still being very pervasive on the continent. It's still a part of the Pan-African movement that is going to be taking place within the next year or two, calling us as African people, wherever we are, to come home. And if you don't want to come home, just like you mentioned, the people who got some money who will be able to do something, because we're going to need everybody in this effort to rid our continent of all of these entities that have been exploiting us for hundreds of years, for us to be once again players in the world instead of the pawns that we have become. So we're definitely going to do that. So if you got any other questions, please give me a call and continue to listen. Okay, my sister? Thank you.
All right. I sure will.
All right. Let me get back to Wes. All right, Wes. We only got a few more minutes.
What you yes, sir. Say? I'll be brief, man.
Be very.
To my sister, that I'm glad you gave her the right information. And all we got to do is just thank it, okay? All that's on the line, just thank these words. The Chinamans got to get the hell out of Africa.
Bottom line.
Okay, matter of fact, we not even supporting none of them no more.
Yeah.
Okay, now we put that thought out there. All us think that thinking at the same time.
Okay.
Right? This is how it works. Because, see, they heard us when we start talking about black people that ain't not getting this disease. So now it's the time to move past talk and go right to your thought, conscious thought.
All right, okay? Good brother. All right.
And
thanks,
one Wes. More thing. I want everybody to look up this word, Nesara. N-E-S-C-A-R-A. I mean,
Nefarious?
Nesara.
Nefara?
Let me spell it. N-E-S-C-A-R-A.
Nefara.
Okay, and it's our time, y'all. Just read that, and y'all see what's really happening.
Okay.
This evil system is getting shut down by order of the creators, y'all. So it's our time. Peace and blessings. I let the family talk. I love y'all.
Peace, my brother. One more. 646. You got anything, Jay, to lead us out of here, brother? Yes, go ahead.
Oshie, all I can say is that every Peckerwood out here should take a shot of Lysol, have them on Scotts, and sit in the chair and let it take the virus out of your body. Because, listen, if I have any black person taking that Lysol, I'm going to find them wherever they are, take my belt off, and beat them behind. Because that's what needs to happen to you.
Okay,
you Jay. Need to have your ass whipped for being that dope. But on a serious note, I heard that on Monday is the big day for you, Odios. What are you going to be turning, 85?
Monday, you're right. No. I'll be
68. Hey, Ozzy, make sure that this weekend you do something good for yourself. Have you a good meal. Have you a little libation. You know, if you into Wisdom Weed, have you a couple of extra puffs. And just enjoy the fact that you still going to be here us on Monday.
That's right. I'm trying my best to do that, Jay. Thank you, my brother. Appreciate that. Thank you. I'm going to try to do that. I'm going to try to be here. Queen, you got any closing words? Queen, are you there? Okay. Brother Ralph, you got any closing words? I'm trying to get.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
If you don't know me by now.
That's right.
You'll never know me.
I say.
You better accept that fact, brother.
All right.
Hey, look, I'm going to give you a call on your big day on Monday, too, man. I might even send you something. All right,
right
brother.
Right on. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate
Ralph.
You. Man.
No, appreciate you. But, hey, Ralph, you know I appreciate
yes,
you. Know I appreciate you. You know that.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
All right, brother.
Peace.
Take care, man.
All right. Fayetteville, 910, Fayetteville.
Yes, sir. Very good program.
Well, thank you.
I'd just like to say that I used to come to Atlanta back in the 70s, the Shrine.
Mm-hmm. Black the Shrine, McDonald's. Yes. I live right down the street from the Shrine, for sure do. Right on.
Yeah, and one of my homeboys is there, Mazamoza.
Uh-huh.
With Kessler.
Yeah, with Kessler, and, yeah.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we're from the same hometown.
Yeah, Brother Wes Kessler. Yeah, I just saw him a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Okay, that's great. He got some good things going on.
Yes, he does.
And, you know, keep the good work up.
All right,
then,
brother.
I'll be tuning in and passing the word on. We're doing some positive things down this way.
Right on.
And we'll keep the connection.
You bet. Thank you so much. You have a blessed weekend. Thank you.
You too, brother.
All right. Queen, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. We only got a couple minutes.
Okay, thank you. I wanted to follow up with Brother Ralph was saying about the banks. That is one positive, concrete thing that we can do and should do, mm-hmm. because when we go anywhere, we have to be able to back up what we say. And, of course, all people recognize when you have the financial capacity to have influence and input. So that's one concrete thing we can absolutely do. Also, you tell the sister about one more about the conference in Africa coming up and the one here as well.
Right.
Thank you, brothers. Peace, Hotep family.
Have a blessed weekend, Queen. Thank you. All right. And my brother in Montgomery, 334.
Peace and blessings, brother. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too. Thank you so much. Brothers and sisters, I really appreciate this day. Anytime I have the opportunity to come before you to talk about issues and concerns that are happening with our people, like I said, this program is about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people, because we believe there is no other discussion. And we don't want to discuss about whether or not that should be happening, because that's ludicrous. We should be discussing how do we achieve it. What mechanisms, what things that need to be put in place so we can begin to take that road to self-actualization, to independence, self-determination, and sovereignty for African people. Sovereignty must be the ultimate. That is our destiny. Because understand something, as long as we are living here with these folks, it means genocide, ultimately. Now, there are some folks who are doing quite well. We recognize that. And some of those folks believe that they can't be touched, and they think that. But I would say I don't trust. I had no trust at all in the people, the Caucasians who run the system itself. So I'm saying is that what we must do is prepare ourselves to run our own world. We must prepare ourselves. We must teach our children. We must teach our children to respect their parents, respect their elders, clean up their community, develop a good behavior, how we talk to one another, how we interact with one another. We must begin to develop a trust, a respect, and a willingness to work together, to put the petty differences because believe me, they have sowed the seeds of discourse, not us. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like when all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. Not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do it out, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and glorious weekend, a safe weekend. Be safe. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family.